January the 20th, 1990.
Okay.
No, that's fine. We can leave that on. It's okay. It's heat. Yeah, it's
more cold. All
right. Okay. It's extremely cold, too. Okay, last time we spoke, your family had been suggested by the family in your relatives in Prevang village to move on. Now, where did you move on to, or what did you do?
We didn't go with the suggestion. That's why we lost my father and my elder brother. But after my father and my elder brother were taken away, we decided to move, and it seemed like we didn't have any choice anymore, because if we keep staying at that place, we may lose more members of family. So we move on to Sakai village. This is a small village, but it's named Sakai, just like Sakai province. But it's a small village. And we were not accepted in that place either, but because we were assigned to stay there. No, I said we were assigned to stay there. I want to stress that because it's not our choice. We did not choose to stay there, but we were assigned to stay in that particular village. And it was very fortunate for us. We met this lady who was the older people too. One of the old, you understand, old. She was generous, worse yet, she told us what we should know, and what we should expect from the village, or from the Angkalu. This is the term that we are familiar now, the Angkalu, and the lady helped us a lot. She provided us shelter. She has her little house, but she let us to stay until, you know, the house in Cambodia, in the village is high, and the part on the ground, nobody's staying it, and she let us stay under her roof, under her, like a two-story building,
right.
Two-story house, but we stay on a ground level, and she helped us a lot. She told us that the language we use in the city, we may not, it might not appropriate for us to use, so we better learn to pick up a lot of words. What we have to say to each other and the family must be very careful on that. Even what my mother had to say to me, must be careful on that. And my mom had to say something that, any advice that my mom gave me must be beneficial to the Angkalu, because even though it's under her house, we were spy during the night. Now this is getting serious now, because we know about all of this, but when we come to this lady's place, she really tell us what to expect, even at night. We have to go to bed early, if you can, and don't talk much, and if you don't have to say it, don't say it. Just go to bed quietly. The reason that this lady is so generous to us, because her husband used to be a soldier, and were persecuted by the Angkalu, but that way before the war was over, And she also has relatives in the city. I guess that's the reason why she has us out too. If she's a really pure old people, I don't think that she would take any time to tell us what to expect at all.
Her husband was a soldier for the Khmer Rouge?
No, for the Lon
Nol
people.
I see.
And she has a lot of relatives in the city.
Did she have family there? Did she have any children or anybody living with her?
She has family there. No children. She was married but didn't have any children. She has younger sister, and the younger sister is married. Now she has the youngest brother, who just returned from the city, not at the same time, but I think like a month before we got to her house. So she kind of know what to expect, what could happen to her brother. But again, because she's not just common people, she's, you know, in that small community, she's a little bit above average people. She kind of, you know, even the uncle trusts her. It's kind of strange for what she is, because she worked very hard, she dedicated her life to have to earn the trust from the uncle, but at the same time, she cared for us. No, a lot of people didn't do that. A lot of people would just work so hard, earn the trust, and persecute the new people. But she didn't. She didn't. This is a very rare old people. She take the time and tell and take the risk, not just the time, but the risk to inform us. And I mean, if I had a chance to go back to that place, that's the first person I will try to find right now.
Was she was an older woman?
No, she's the first time we met her, she was in the 30s.
Oh.
She's not old at all. You know.
Hmm.
Not well educated, but I believe that she's educated. She can read and write. I don't remember she speaking any French at all. Speaking French is a sign of more educated
person. Something that you did not do, right?
Right.
Okay.
You cannot speak during the time.
Now, you said that your family was assigned to Takao.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Who assigned you there? Was it Khmer
the uncle.
From the previous village you were in, or?
Well, you can't. I cannot recall the exact process of choosing and selecting, but what happened after we moved out of the place where my father's relative, we somehow they know us. Now that's much I didn't know. And we went to like a gathering place. And we have our name picked. How many people are going to stay in this village and that village and on and on. And again, the village that my family and I happen to stay, built along the bank of the river, small river.
The Mekong.
No, not the Mekong. No, the small branch of the small river from the Mekong.
Okay, tributary.
I don't know. It's a small river. It's not Mekong River. It's like a big Mekong River and then a small one coming out of Mekong River.
Okay.
We call it Kampung Tobai River. Yeah. Okay.
Let me ask. Okay, the village that your relatives were in,
mm-hmm.
Prey Vang, was there a fear? I know you had mentioned this earlier. Was there a fear that, okay, they took away your father and older brother, that they might take the, you know, other members of the family Was there a fear? Was your family afraid of something like that happening?
Oh yes, oh yes. My younger brother, I mean not my younger, but my second elder brother, he was 19 during the time. And again, he was well built. And he's taller than I am now. He's the one who would be the next target if we decide to stay in the village. One of his friends escaped and disappeared, and it just 2 years ago we know that this guy is still alive, and now he's in Canada. He just migrated to Canada about, I would say 2 years ago. Yeah. And this is my second elder brother's best friend. Escaped at the time because of the fear that the next target like this. My brother, my second elder brother wanted to escape, but my mom asked him not to. No. That much I still remember. And again, it's a lot of fear to stay in that village.
Yeah.
Our relatives loved us, want so much to help us, but they could not protect us. I think it's just the nature of the Khmer Rouge. You know, you cannot put yourself in front of your relatives. If somebody is appointed to be re-educated, that person must be gone. Nobody else can say anything about it.
Okay. So, how far is Takyo from where you were in Prey Vang?
If you walk, and all the time when I need to visit, well, in the early day, you know, and you know, like first few months, we can visit back and forth, right? And if you walk, it took me about 4 hours, 4.5 hours on foot.
From the Prey Vang village?
From Lung Chok, that's the place.
Lung Chok.
Lung Chok to Takao village. So it's 4.5 hours
okay.
on foot. And again, there's no other, well, there's other means of transportation by boat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, when you got to Takyo Village, this woman who had helped out your family,
uh-huh.
were you the only city people in that village?
No.
Besides her relatives?
No, there's, let me see. It's more, almost 10 city family. But we are not put in one place. You know, like, my family was assigned to stay with this lady's house, and the other families, you know, separated throughout the village.
You almost couldn't talk to each other, could you?
Hardly. And again, I mean, we learned later that the Khmer Rouge tried to separate the city people as far away from each other as they could. And that's true then, because even when we go to work in the field, in the rice field, we hardly see each other, the city people.
But okay, when you went to work in the rice field, did you work with your family or were you separated from each other?
No, we were separated based on our in the earlier day. Well, let me start from the beginning, okay?
Okay.
We were assigned to stay with these ladies, and this lady provided us some rice, which is the main consuming food.
A lot of it.
She provided us food, but again, we had to do fishing on our own. And as to the news people, I myself don't know anything, and the rest of the family didn't know anything, any way that we can get any fish. So she provided us some fish also. Mm-hmm. But she, at the same time, this lady taught us, well, I guess it's her obligation too, not just from the bottom of her heart, but from what I know, I think the Ankalu assigned her this family, like give her an obligation for her to take care of this particular family. Now, but she doesn't have to provide us food, see. A lot of it from out of her kindness. But again, later, for the first few months, we live on her food, and then later, the Ankalu provide us some food too, because we didn't bring anything with us, and all gone up. Whatever we brought from the city, not with us anymore. Even the clothes, this lady even gave us some clothes. That meant a lot to us and saved our life. And
were these the Khmer Rouge pajamas?
No, it's just a farmer's clothes, you know. Like usually when you work in the rice field, the clothes you wear is very dirty and you know.
Pretty warm.
Right. And she gave us some of that. And on top of that, we trade some of the city clothes with her. And even some jewelry with her clothes. Because we were, like, we're so scared each time now because, you know, we just lost my father and my first elder brother. And we were scared because we know we are targeted, and we have to do almost exactly what the lady told us. But the lady, again, the lady was nice, generous. She didn't book us to death at all, and after a few months, we kind of racing our food now.
You're growing your own crops?
Right, but we are not assigned, we are not given any piece of land at all. We were asked to go and work with the lady on her farm. The first few months, the farm was not collective. It's not put in one community yet. She's still farming her own land, and most people doing on their land. Go on a little further. After a few months, we were assigned to work separately now, based on our age level. My mother was old enough to stay and help out in the village. All my brother and sister were assigned to go and work in the field, planting rice, growing rice. I don't know what you call it. You know when the cow pull, not the cow, but the
plowing.
Plowing. Yeah, we're doing that. All my brother and sister learned to do that, and eventually we learned to do to catch some fish too. And that was a fun part. It's always fun. But it's the lady helped us a lot.
Okay. She had warned you about spies. You know, to be careful what you say and everything like this. Was there any suspicion on your family's part that she possibly could be a spy for the Ankalu? Here you are living right underneath her.
Mm-hmm.
And she could basically hear everything that's being said. Do you think she could have been a spy for the Did that ever cross your family's mind about why this woman was being so generous?
Suspicion, yes. There's no doubt about it. We were scared from the last village. Mm-hmm. We were, and now, and in the new village, this lady is nicer. Suspicion, yes. But we kind of very careful because she was nice and told us what not to say and what not to do. And we try to rationalize what she said, and especially my mother tried to think the good thing that we learned after we lost my father and my brother, we learned one thing: to be sure of ourselves that we must be deaf and. You know, when a person cannot talk,
mute,
deaf and mute, that's the word that we learned.
Okay.
And we learned that. And again, the lady told us that too. And we were suspicious what happened with the lady. But we tried to observe her background too, again, and I gave you her background already.
Mm-hmm.
She was nice to us because of a certain reason, you know.
Did she tell you all this too?
Oh, she's kind of more relaxed to us because I guess because her brother, one of her brothers, her youngest brother, came from the city just like us, and that, and we kind of relaxed with her. I mean, we did not tell her exactly what we were.
Yeah.
By the way, she did not question us the hard questions like, you know, what did you do in Pooping? You know, deep question, you know, she's kind of watch over us, but let us lose too, you know, like, okay, well, you know, if you work hard and if you earn the trust from the uncle, your life could be saved too. And we learned that. We learned that my mom especially learned not to talk at night. You know, there's no, after the sun down, after the dinner, finishing the dinner, after doing dishes, we sleep quietly and talking. In the daytime, we try to share as much as we can because hardly any spy around us at the same time. And indeed, there's some people who really spy on us in the nighttime. I mean, those are the what do you call them? Not the guerrilla soldier, but in the village itself, they organize it like the CIA and spy on you. They organize that.
Well, was she, this woman, was she a member of the village, you know, rulers or anything?
No, she's not a village ruler, but people come to look up to her. She's not quite wealthy among the villagers, but she was not that poor at all. Consider the standard of the village, she's above average. She's not the highest. Some other thing I have to mention too. This lady has a brother that somehow she married her brother, one of her brother, married to one of my father's relatives, you know, like, such a big family, right?
Yeah.
Cambodian people. And I guess because of that bond between her relative and my father's relative, that's really, I guess that's the flavor that we have too.
How did she find this out? Or?
No, we found this out later. We didn't find that out in the beginning, but again, I think this lady did a lot for us because of her kindness. We were suspicious on her. We were very careful saying anything to her at all.
Mm-hmm.
We tried not to talk to her as much as we could. but I guess if she spied on us, I wouldn't be here now.
Okay.
I mean, the suspicious was there when we were around. But again, I mean, just simple. I mean, if she reports everything we did under her roof, because, you know, whatever she said, the Alcala will listen to her.
Yeah. Because she
was the old people.
I see.
But I guess she hardly ever reported anything about us negatively.
Yeah. She probably had more on her.
Yeah.
On for her.
On top of that, see, all my brothers and sisters were so afraid. They would do anything that the lady asked. I mean, the rest of the family would stay in the field even after the sundown if the lady asked us to do.
Mm.
Now that's how much we have to sacrifice to earn her trust too. I mean, we cannot just win her trust. But again, this has come later, you know. I mean, the lady gave us a lot already, but we just return her favor, I guess. Trying to work for her, do things for her. Even after we cook, you know, we gave her our food, you know, share with her. When thing was not too hot yet, we still can share food and all of this. Offer her the little that we had. We gave her as much as we could, and just to earn her favor and trust.
You mean she was not able to get all the food like easier than say your family would?
No, when I say offer little food, you know, Cambodian traditions go like this. Okay, when you have a neighbor,
yeah,
and we know, like, especially in a village, you know the whole village, right?
Mm-hmm.
All people in the village. And like, I'm cooking my dinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say I'm making numbajok.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm making numbajok, right?
Mm-hmm.
My neighbor, this is what happened. I take a bowl of numbajok to offer her,
mm-hmm,
like that.
Right.
I guess it's our tradition. You know, we
take something to the neighbor.
Right, take something to the neighbor, the little food, and sometimes she gave us back some of her food. And again, I mean, she tried to put herself close to us as she could, but yet she tried not to, you know, not to let Anka know that she and the rest of my family had anything going, you know, like secret thing between us.
I see.
And I guess anything ever happened between Uncle Lou and me and her and my family.
Nothing got between you?
No. I guess if something got between us, probably.
Who knows what could have happened?
Probably I'm probably rejoicing in heaven right now.
How long did you stay in Takao Village?
Hmm. A long time, until the break of the Vietnamese.
So you were there that long, huh?
Yeah, but see, not with the lady all along. Okay, first we stay with the lady,
mm-hmm,
for a few months, and then Uncle Lu gave us a piece of land, and on that piece of land there's a little house made of, you know, you see the... Should I describe it? You describe it. No, it's made of bamboo, you know, the bamboo.
A farmer's hut.
Yeah, like that. Small one. Sure, fit everybody when we sleep, you know. We can. And there's no room. There's just like a hut.
Just enough for the family.
Yeah. And again, after a few months with the lady, and we got that place. And that's the first little house we ever given by the uncle. And
there were others?
Well, yeah. Now, it's strange though, now. See, first, the uncle put us in different houses. Now, at this time, they have this piece of property. They build a lot of small houses, and they put us, new people, like one next to the other.
Oh.
Now that really, I don't know it's consistent with what their plan is, but that's what happened.
Because I had thought, okay, I had thought the Khmer Rouge had wanted to, you know, make you like the old people,
mm-hmm.
you know, make you become one of the old people. But it would seem under those types of plans that would be...
No,
it's...
See...
Okay.
It's a mapping.
Okay.
I hope you get that on... Put your camera here. Now this is like a river, okay? This is the first... This is the lady's house, okay? And after we living with her for a few months,
mm-hmm.
this is a piece of land over here.
Mm-hmm.
This is a low house. And all of these houses for the news people.